Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week, in our study of Daniel chapter 5, we were talking about historical documents and writings that support the biblical account of the book of Daniel. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
There were three historians whose writings, in places, contradicted one another, but all three of them lived in or near that era. And most scholars quote these men. There was Herodotus, Xenophon, and Diodorus. Also, there are inscriptions from monuments that still exist to this day. And then there were men such as Dr. Daniel March, whose work was published in 1868. It was called Night Scenes of the Bible. And, of course, that means that most of the work he did was in the earlier 1860s before this Bible was actually published, or this book was published, Night Scenes of the Bible. I read as well of Dr. H.A. Ironside on the book of Daniel. And you realize that the first printing, the first publishing of the book of Daniel by H.A. Ironside was in 1911. Now, I mention all these things because here are people that defended this book as accurate when there were historians and archaeologists and others who disagreed. Now, there are people today that say that this chapter has been confirmed by historians and archaeologists. And I would say, personally, that that's wrong. Secular history and archaeology is never an authority to confirm the Word of God. Instead, the Word of God will confirm them when they're right. Now, until secular history and archaeology discovered the evidence that was there, they had their own circumstantial evidence that highly favored their modernistic concept that they disbelieved the things written in the book of Daniel. And I say that just to say this, if you're a Christian, you claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please always keep it in mind that whenever there is a difference between the Word of God and man's logic, the Word of God is always, always, always right, and man is always, always wrong. In 1850, critics doubted the historicity of Belshazzar. As a matter of fact, they began to claim that he was a fictitious character. They went further to say that Daniel was the man who wrote in 165 B.C. After all, when you read the many things in this book, they say they're so prophetic, therefore, he did not write them in a prophetic fashion. He wrote them in a historical fashion. And so, he's saying that he wrote these things after the four great powers came about of not only Babylon, but then of the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and finally the Roman Empire. And so these were things that they were stating as facts in these liberal theologians and liberal institutions, both with historians as well as archaeologists and the theologians. They were saying that, hey, no, Daniel lived in 165 B.C. No, Belshazzar was a fictitious character. And then Belshazzar's name was discovered on the cuneiform tablets. So his existence could no longer be questioned. So then critics attacked Daniel's statement that Belshazzar was king. Since Nabonidus was the last king of Babylon, they said this could not be that a man named Belshazzar was king. And so all the liberal theologians and the critics made all their logical and convincingly devised fables to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that the account of Daniel was wrong. However, two large black cylinders in a Byzantine church in Haran were found in 1956. And Nabonidus, the cylinder or chronicle, clearly mentioned Belshazzar's name and identifies him as co-regent with his father, Nabonidus. Now, that not only shows Belshazzar ruled in Babylon while Nabonidus was alive, but it was telling us that Nabonidus seemed to be over the entire realm while Belshazzar ruled in Babylon. And so, when you look at that, you begin to realize that the things of Daniel's book are correct. Why do you point something out like that? Say, Brother Andy, what does that have to do with anything? Well, simply this. There were theologians, educated men in the areas of history and archaeology, that were at one time saying, no, there was no such man as Belshazzar. Nabonidus was the last ruler. And they put down the teaching of Daniel. And it seemed logical. And many of the young people in the college would be convinced, and in the universities, that, oh yes, we can't trust Daniel. But the faithful Christian who says, I don't care what they say and what proof they seem to think they have, the Word of God is right, and I'm going to believe it. That's the person, and that is the right person to follow, because that's a person who is trusting God, His Word, and His Word alone. You see, today we are seeing people come out that are experts. They're telling you not to spank your children anymore, that that's the wrong thing to do. We almost, in a way, have it now that psychology tells us that man is not the head of the home anymore. And now, even in churches, they're starting to justify more than what the Bible tells us for divorce. But my friend, it still goes back. The Word of God is right, man is wrong, even intellectual, psychological man. Now, coming back here, we can say that probably 20 to 30 years have passed since chapter 4 and Nebuchadnezzar's experience there. Daniel now is nearing 80 if he's not already in his 80s. We know by history that Nebuchadnezzar died in 562 B.C. and was followed by his son, Evil-Merodach. Nebuchadnezzar had one son and one daughter that we've been made aware of. There may have been more. The daughter married a man named Nergal-Sharezer. Evil-Merodach is the one in 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 27 through 30. And in Jeremiah chapter 52, who released King Jehoiachin from prison and gave him a privileged place in his own court. But after reigning only 2 years, Evil-Merodach was assassinated by his brother-in-law, that's right, her sister's husband, Nergal-Sharezer. And he is mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 3 and verse 13. Well, Nergal-Sharezer and Nebuchadnezzar's daughter, they have a son. Only this son, as in the description of one historian, is an imbecile. And after approximately 4 years, Nergal-Sharezer is killed in battle, and his imbecile son is made king. Well, it wasn't long. The son was killed just after a few months by conspiracy, and a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar took over. So Nebuchadnezzar was married also to Nebuchadnezzar's daughter. Now, there's a disagreement as to whether or not it was the wife of Evil-Merodach or another daughter or even a granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Many seem to believe that it was Evil-Merodach's wife, his widow. But again, those are things that are uncertain. But what we learn from this is that Nebuchadnezzar and his wife bore a son, and his name was Belshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar reigned for 17 years. He rebuilt the temple to the god of the sun. He differed from other rulers in that he was absent from the capital for long extended periods of time. And he maintained another residence in Tema of Arabia. It is said that he went through one period of 14 years in which he did not so much as visit the capital city of Babylon. Belshazzar was then made the king of the city, while Nebuchadnezzar was over the entire realm. That's why you read in verse 7, in verse 16, and again in verse 29. When this vision is seen by Belshazzar, and he's scared to death, and he makes an offer to anybody that can read it. He says, if you can let me know, you'll be clothed in scarlet, you'll have a chain of gold about your neck, and you'll be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now, many times we see kings saying, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. But here he says, I'll make you the third ruler. Now, why is he going to make him the third ruler? Why not the second ruler? Because Belshazzar's the second ruler. And so, this is scripturally correct in that he said, I'll make you the third ruler because that's the best he could do. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. baptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.